morning.
Hi.
Hi. We're missing two of us today.
Yeah, we'll be short and sweet, or maybe we won't. Who knows? So today we're going to carry on from last week, because last week we said we would talk about SEO. I had a lesson, BEC, I think it's Business Enterprise Center, they were offering a free workshop. Mm-hmm. So I just said, yeah, I'll have a lesson. So I actually got a one-on-one, which was really good, by a lady whose business is obviously SEO and website optimization and all that sort of stuff. So she knows her thing, and I just got some notes that everybody can learn from. So I'll go through them, and Vanessa, you stop me, because you're the techie person. If I don't call something the right thing, or if it needs explaining a bit more. Mm-hmm. So basically, she gave me, I mean, for everyone who doesn't know SEO, search engine optimization. So when we're in business, obviously we want the search engines to find our website so that our potential customers can find our websites and we can make more money. That's the goal. So she says that the SEO is all about more educational articles. So the more information we give, we're using what they call keywords. So the keywords, like for me, I'm a buyer's agent. So I would use the keywords buyer's agent, but a lot of people don't have a clue what a buyer's agent is. So then I have to explain that, and I say buying property, or buying property in specific areas, or different terms that the average person can relate to, I guess. Did you know what a buyer's agent was, Vanessa, before?
No.
We used to, no?
No, a real estate agent, but not a buyer's agent. Your microphone's going a bit funny.
Oh, is it? Mm. I don't know what I can do different.
It's all right. It's only occasionally. Might be where it's sitting.
Maybe as I leaned on the wire, maybe. Mm. Tell me if it does it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so she was all about writing educational articles, which I think you're good at, because you have a few blog posts on your website, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I must put another one up. Yes.
Ah, there you go. So the more educational articles, obviously, the more words you have and the more chance the search engines have of finding the right words to match up your clients to you. She suggests, which I don't do, because I had my website, I had a basic one, and it just sat there. And then recently I redid it. Just on a Sunday afternoon, I redid my website. So because it was a quick and easy job, I just did it on one page. And so here comes my cat. So all of my info is just on one page under the one heading. And it's all there, but only on one page. And she said that it would be much, much better to separate it out onto the different headings. So like I could have, because I teach courses, but I also do it for you, I could have property courses and then a separate page for learning to invest, or buying your first home. And because Google gives higher value,
priority.
I don't know what the term is, priority, yeah, that's the word, thank you, to headings as well. So page names rank really high. So the more pages you have, the more chance you have of ranking high. So that made sense. So I have to, when I focus on my website, which I haven't done yet, I'm going to go through and separate all of my pages out, and then really focus on the names that I give for each page so that it's a logical thing, and hopefully it's something that people might be searching for as well, because that's the goal, like to find the words that people search for. So in my instance, like you just clarified, like they don't even know what a buyer's agent is, so therefore how can they know that they need a buyer's agent? So basically I would be trying to come up in property searches where people are searching for property. And right at this point, they're feeling overwhelmed, like, God, which agent do I trust? There's so many properties, or maybe there's not enough properties, or I don't know what's good value, or how to tell how much to pay, or shit, I don't want to negotiate. I suck at negotiating. So these are all the things they're thinking about while they're looking for the property. So if I can cash in on the words that are going through their mind then, and pull them in and go, hey, as a buyer's agent, I could do all that for you. Or, hey, as a buyer's agent, I can teach you all that stuff, so it doesn't have to be hard and overwhelming and scary. So I have to come up with those words. Mm-hmm. So there might be how to negotiate, or how to find a property in somewhere, or They might want a property buyer's checklist. So, you know, all of these things are things that I would use in my headings. And I asked her about a tool to do this. And she said, she gave me a website, which is called Uber Suggest, Uber like the taxi thing. Uber Suggest. So it's a keyword tool, and there's a free version and then there's a paid version. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool because I guess it's a bit like, I haven't played with it for a while, but like Google keywords, Google Analytics, Google AdWords even, it shows you what, you know, the volumes of searches, and you can look up what keywords your competitors are using, and you can export the list and all that sort of stuff. So that was really good. Uber Suggest.
I'm writing that down.
Good. I thought you might. So she's suggesting on your blog page, and you can call it whatever you want. I mean, either obviously you call it what you want, but you could call it a blog page, or you could call it a news page or a newsletter or lessons or articles or whatever. One a month. So here we go. We can commit to doing one blog a month, can't we? You and me.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, good. Okay. So where are we? The 21st of May. By the 21st of June, we will have both written at least one blog each and uploaded it.
Definitely. Because my aim was cool. My aim was once a week, and it just hasn't happened because life gets in the way. Hard. So
yeah.
I can do once a month.
Yeah, good. Well, the other thing, like what Shelley told us, is that we could have our conversations transcribed, not obviously in this setting because this is irrelevant to each of our individual businesses, but, you know, like if you're having a conversation with a client, for example, like I have so many conversations about how to negotiate and how do I know the value, and we're in a market like locally in my area where there is no value, like the value of a property doesn't come into it. So like I've got a couple who are wanting to buy a property at the moment that was advertised at 2.95 million and they really like it. And they've offered, without giving too much away, just say they've offered a significant amount, more than 3 million, and they still don't have it. So they're, you know, I have to have conversations with them about, well, that just because we haven't got it for that much doesn't mean that the property is actually worth that much. A property is worth as much as someone is happy to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're willing to pay, you know, 3.4, 3.5 or whatever they think they're going to get for it, that's the value today. But in 6 months' time, when you don't have the same competition, will that property be worth the same? No. Well, it might, but it might not be. We can't guarantee that. So in a normal market, we follow the fluctuations and, you know, we can make predictions and we can say you're safe to pay X, Y, or Z. But in this really inflated market where people are just paying crazy, ridiculous prices, it changes everything. So I'm having conversations like that with people all the time, and I could turn that into a blog. It's a story, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we don't have to be reinventing the wheel all the time, you know. I guess if you're talking to them, you need their permission to transcribe it, or you know, you take all their bits out. I don't know, but there's lots of ways we can get our ideas. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, I always, when I was doing my blog, I always did it on a Friday, and then that way I could talk about something that had happened that week, like a conversation with a teacher or something had happened in the classroom or whatever. And it was still fresh in my mind. So, so you didn't have to worry too much about what you were going to write in your blog, but also you can Google, which I've done too, ideas for blog posts. And there is a million. There are a million out there.
Yeah, yeah. And look at what other people are saying and put your spin on it. Make it yours. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So next thing she said was, oh, like when you're looking through this Uber Suggest or your keyword tools, whatever you use, obviously the lower volume search results are good for blog content. So things that, you know, people aren't necessarily searching for, they will get you a higher result, was my understanding, even though I could be confused here. It's like the teacher is now one. So what I've got written down is lower volume search results are good for blog content. So the higher volume search results, that's what people pay for. That's what they pay Google AdWords to get the results to come up the top of the list. But I think what I'm meaning there is that the lower volume search results are still good for blog content because people are obviously still searching them, but not to the volume of the high ones. And you tend to get more random more random searches, like weird words. Like at the top, there might be just two words that are very obvious what they've searched for. But as you go down, it's like questions that are quite specific.
Mm-hmm.
In this, Uber suggests you have an SEO difficulty. So she says you aim for anything under 20, which if you haven't got the program in front of you, won't matter right now. But it talks about domain authority. So that's how Google ranks you.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a domain authority like realestate.com is obviously, you know, really super duper authority and they have everything going for them. She says when you're writing, you have one page per topic, but not one page per every keyword. So like me, I might have investment property might be my topic, but I might have like 10 different keywords that I'm targeting under mm-hmm. investment property. And she wants to see at least 750 words per page, which I don't think is hard. We all know our stuff. We
can
come up with something. Yeah.
Yep.
Then we talked about the actual website. So I have my little plug here. My main website is buyersagent.boutique. And I thought I was really clever. But remember when years ago we just had like .com or .net or .com?
Yep.
.com.au or whatever. Yeah. Then they brought it out that you could have like .agency, .boutique, all of these different, like to represent more closely what type of business you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I got an email from my website hosting people and they said, do you want to buy the .agency of your like buyers.agency. And I'm like, hell yeah. And it wasn't expensive. And so I bought it and I couldn't believe how lucky I was. But in between me buying it from them and them registering it, somebody else got it. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So they came back to me and they're like, oh, you can't do that. So we went with buyersagent.boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to her, you know, I know that's a bit weird and random, but I've still got the word buyer's agent in my domain. So I thought that was pretty good. And she said, yeah, that is good, but obviously boutique's a bit out there. So she felt it was better to try and keep a simple domain extension if you can get it. Mm-hmm. But then what I'd suggest probably is if you've got whatever you've got, like in my case, buyersagent.boutique, I would keep that. And then whatever else I got, like I'd never be lucky enough. I'm not big time enough to get by buyers. agent.com.au, for example, like that would cost me a fortune. And no
with
one
that
would
attitude, it would. With that attitude, it would.
Good point. I'm thinking I'd be competing with like, you know, realestate.com or something. Imagine the inquiry that I'd get if I did have that, because I get pretty good inquiry off buyersagent.boutique. So yeah, good point. Good point. So she was just saying keep it simple. And she recommends to keep it relevant to your country as well, if you can. What does yours come up as? Is yours NZ?
Mine's .igot.school.nz.
Cool.
Which I didn't think that they'd let me have because I'm not a registered government-funded school. I'm a business. But, yep, they let me have it. And so I think that's it's quite good for my market.
Yeah. And that probably gives a feeling of trust as well to have school in your domain.
Yeah, well, anytime there's school in a domain, you know it's educational. So yeah, it's just that little bit of extra appetizing, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. I asked her about SEO plugins because I have Yoast SEO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said there's one called Rank Math, which was a good one. But what the SEO plugin does, like, I'm so stupid. I was thinking, I shouldn't say that. You know what I mean? I was thinking that the SEO plugin actually helped you, like, up your ranking. But no, the SEO plugin just tells you whether you've got the actual right words in the right places. And then it's up to you to go and do it. Just says, yes, you do or no, you don't. Like, I thought it was kind of like feeding you to places and you know, helping you improve that way. But no, it's just a visual tool really to say, well, you've said your keyword is property and property does not appear on all these pages. So
that's handy though. That's good to know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She said, check your headlines are relevant. So like I might, for me, because I'm all about, you know, the excitement and the emotion of something. So I might write a headline that says, woohoo. but woohoo is not relevant to property. So yeah, she's saying, like, keep your headlines relevant to what you want people to be searching for. So maybe you might put, we bought a property, or, you know, bought a property in whatever, and then your next line could be woohoo. You know, you can still,
or you could say, my woohoo property moment.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But she's saying that whatever comes first will work better.
Oh, okay.
So use it in the first half. Yeah. You've probably come across this, file names on images. So, you know, like, you download a photo and it might say, like, miniature pot plant green or something. I'm looking at a mini pot plant, in case you can't tell. and so you just download that and you put it on your web page, because people are looking at it. What do they care what the name is? But Google cares what the name is. So you would go and rename that pot plant to whatever was relevant to your business, because Google is picking up on the names of the images.
Oh.
So that was good. Yeah. She says, have at least one, because I work in WordPress and she teaches WordPress, we have H1 headers, but you're not WordPress, are you?
No, I'm Wix.
Wix. So yeah, it's probably slightly different, but do you have all the different kind of headlines, like H1, H2?
Yes.
Yeah. So probably similar. So she says, make sure that you have at least one H1 header on each page, because again, Google will pull from your H1 header. I was looking at a web page while I was talking to her, and they had the call to action, or the fill out your details and I'll be in touch, or the sign up to our newsletter, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that is, whatever you're going to capture their data with, on every single page of the website. So even like on the blog page, it was like the blog on the left and then the sign up on the right. And no matter what was on the page, there was a sign up, which I thought was obviously really simple stuff. We can all do that. Just to capture them while, you know, get their attention while they're there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Some basic pages, she said we should have home, about, services, FAQs, and then all of, you know, whatever else you've got under your menus.
Yeah.
And make sure, like I said before, make sure that the page names match your keywords. And then I asked her about backlinks, and this is probably something that you're pretty good at, in that, you know, like referring to other pages or other pages referring to you. So she talked about getting in with community groups or industry bodies, because the more times your website talks to or refers to another website, again, Google like that because it's more interactive.
Yeah.
So like I saw on Facebook, you've been at a business meeting,
breast cancer this morning. Meeting. Yep.
Yeah. So you might, if they have an affiliate page, or, you know, if you sponsored it, or, you know, like, you might get on their page, or you write a blog post and you say, you've been there, here's where you can go if you want to donate or check your boobs or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the more times we can point to other pages, the better it is for us. What else did I have? Oh, ask for Google reviews on Google. Google loves reviews, and that will help up your page ranking. Yeah. So this week I've been busy giving other businesses that I love reviews.
Nice.
And it feels good. It's really nice. Yeah. But yesterday I went to my mechanic. I have two mechanics. I have one for my fancy car, and then we have one for the other cars. And I took my car to the normal mechanic, and you know, just quick thing. And he just did it. And I said, oh, you know, send me the bill. He said, don't worry, Tonya, as if I'm going to charge you for that. And I said, well, I'll buy you a card and beer. What's your favorite beer? He's like, any beer. So I'll go next week and take him his card and a beer. But I thought, well, better than that, I can give him a Google review.
Yes. Yeah.
So I did it for him, and did it for my dentist, a few other places. So I think it's important for us as business people too, if we want that, to, you know, to do it for other people, and the universe will remember.
Yes, I have to say, like, with the whole review thing, I love when people put reviews, but I hate putting reviews up, because I don't know, it's just like, can't be bothered. But I need to, because I know how valuable it is when you're looking for a product. Yeah.
Well, I have a house that we rent out on Airbnb.
Yeah.
And Airbnb are big on reviews, but I mean, obviously Facebook groups for other people that have their own Airbnb, and some of them get so caught up in the reviews, like they get really devastated. I have 70 something reviews, and my star rating out of 5 is 4.93. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like, yeah, I'd expect that. You know, like I try hard. My house is awesome. It's perfectly clean. You know, people love it. But then I didn't appreciate the actual value of it. So I went and looked at the page, like where my house is Kalala Beach, which is Jervis Bay in New South Wales. And so I went and looked at all the other houses available to rent in Kalala Beach, and mine comes up first because I am the highest ranking host in the whole of Kalala Beach. It's like, wow, I didn't give this enough credit, you know? And so that, one, it made me feel good, but two, I didn't realize it was going to put me to the top of the list. And three, or obviously it's good for business. All of my guests get to see that and read other people's reviews. And some of them are just one line, you know, clean, close to the beach. And other people like go into all sorts of detail. So it's really helped me the way that I give other reviews, because I tended to be this person years ago. When you go to Google, you can see all the reviews you've done. I used to only give a review if it was crappy.
Oh.
And that's really nasty.
I know, but that's how people work sometimes.
Well, we shouldn't.
I know.
So, yeah, so I got to up my review game and, you know, give the good ones, hopefully more than the bad ones, or, you know, keep it honest. And also, yeah, don't be scared to ask for the reviews. I remember I didn't use TripAdvisor really much at all. And we were in Venice and we went to this restaurant, and the restaurant owner came and sat with us, and, you know, he'd been to Australia, so he knew where we lived and he knew where my family came from initially, you know, so you get all that happening. And he said, I said, thank you so much. You know, that was excellent. He said, can I ask you one thing? Can you please get on TripAdvisor and give me a review? And I said, I don't even have TripAdvisor. He said, well, I'll show you right now. Can you do it right now? Hook into my Wi-Fi and we'll do it. So I sat there with him and he's like showing me everything, and we gave him the review. And it just made me feel so good to give something back to him. Who had, you know, it's his business to feed people lunch, but he did it so well. So, yeah, it's a nice thing you can do.
Yeah.
And I reckon the universe will notice.
Yeah, spread the love. Spread the love.
Yeah. The other thing that she had in terms of, Google reviews, was to add it to your email signature. So even, you know, like people might not have actually bought something from you, or they might not have, you know, been a specific direct customer, but they could still really like you and appreciate the free value that you've given them. So she said we should have a link to Google reviews in our email signature, and you just never know who's going to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Great idea.
No reason not to. Yeah. And then I guess you would have them in New Zealand. They must be everywhere. We have sites like True Local and obviously Yellow Pages. There's like Hot Frog and all sorts. They're just paid search engines. So or True Local, like they'll have a free element and then a paid element. So she said, get yourself on all of those because that helps with your search ranking. But here's a tip that I learned, and you might know this already. Years ago when I did all this, the spam I got was ridiculous.
Mm.
And I don't know, I don't remember specifically, was it from the people that I signed up with or from, you know, people who hack their sites and just pull your email off. So I actually signed up with a different email address that I didn't really monitor. So then I wasn't being bothered by all of these people, you know, trying to sell me more stuff. I signed up to it, but it still led to my website, which they could then contact me via my website. So that's not an SEO thing. I don't know that a professional would recommend that. But for me, like every day I was getting an email from these, you know, because I think actually now that I remember, I actually went on to Fiverr and I signed up with some $5 service, you know, in some other country, to submit my website to all of these pages. Yes, I paid them to do it.
Yeah.
So then they gave me a list of all the ones that they'd hooked me up with. And so, you know, when you're on 50 different websites, even just them sending you the mail trying to get you to upgrade, it blows your mind and it wastes so much time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I did the other email.
I always talk about with people making a rubbish email. And it's especially with kids too, because, you know, sometimes you can't log into websites unless you give an email and you don't really want to give that. And I say to them, go and get a Hotmail address or just make a random Gmail address. And that's what I do. Yeah. I've got a Hotmail address and it just gets spammed. And I don't care because if I need something, I'll go and I can search for it and eventually find it.
That's right.
But I don't have to see it in my inbox every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've got a Gmail. Actually, I was lucky enough to get my name at Gmail, which feels kind of cool. But yeah, I just use it for all the things you want to sign up for when you want to win a competition.
Yes. Yeah. And then I do that and I think, oh, should I be checking it though? Do they email to let you know?
I won. I have, I tell you today how many I've got. Oh, no, it's not. I moved it off my homepage. Actually, on my normal email inbox, I have 170 emails unread. That's between my work email and my home email. So when I'm going to get slammed when I go to work today. But my Gmail, because I don't look at it often enough, like I literally have hundreds. I can't even find it. That's how often I use it. And my friend, she picked up my phone one day and she's like, oh, my God, you've got 500 emails unread. How do you cope with that? And I'm like, I don't even look at it. But for her, it was like mind-blowing. Gave her anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
My daughter.
My work one I keep really clear. And every now and then I'll go through my personal one, but I think I've got about 972 or something unopened at the moment. But it's just recurring rubbish from Apple or you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And that's not even, that's my personal email, not even my rubbish email. That's probably got thousands, the Hotmail, because I just never clear it.
Yeah.
But
because
it takes a lot of time. But I mean, I also have, because I unsubscribe as I go as well.
Yeah.
Make sure,
my sister-in-law the other day was complaining about emails and saying, you know, she needs to take a whole day and go through it and subscribe. And so I told her about this program called Unroll Me. I think it's at unroll.me. And so it only works on programs like Gmail and Hotmail, and it will bring up, you subscribe to it and it will bring up a list of all the things that you're subscribed to.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how it knows, but obviously it searches something. And you just tick the ones you want to unsubscribe and it will unsubscribe you.
Ah, do you get a whole lot of junk? That's a quick way to do it. Do you get a whole lot of junk from there though?
Oh, I don't remember that. I did it a couple of years ago and it was pretty good. But every now and then I go through and I do a declutter and I think today I'm going to unsubscribe. And so then I unsubscribe from 10 things and the next day I subscribe to 5 new ones.
I know, but at least they're more relevant than what you just subscribed for a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. And then sometimes I unsubscribe thinking I'm going to just follow them on Facebook, but then you don't see them on Facebook. So, you know, the cycle starts all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. And I know they say that, you know, when someone's on your mailing list, you should email them every day, but that does my head in.
I know.
When you're getting multiple every day. Oh, yeah. Not for me, though.
Like, yeah, I have a couple people that send me, like, an email every day, sometimes two, and some I read, mostly I don't. But I think, well, their strategy is that because I don't read most of them, I haven't unsubscribed yet, but I'm reading some of them. So the fewer they send, the fewer I'm actually going to read. I don't know if that's the science behind it. But there is a fine line, I think, between enough and too much. And Denise Duffield Thomas talks about it, and she certainly is not in your inbox every day. Definitely not. As a member of her paid community, we get an email once a week. And I think her marketing community, you get an email once a week as well. So I might get two a week from her. Mm-hmm. But generally it's recycled content from her blog anyway, which is really smart. But she says, you post however many times you're comfortable with. And yeah, of course, you have to take into account all the algorithms and everything. But if you don't want to post every day, don't, you know. And then she says, because there's a lot of people who get really upset when they get unsubscribes. She's like, don't worry, they're not your people. You know, like if you like to post 5 times a day, then people who like to read your post 5 times a day will be attracted to you. And if you don't, then, you know, they're not for you. So we actually have a thing in her boot camp where people celebrate their unsubscribes. or we celebrate social media, not celebrate, that's the wrong word, but like when people give you a caning on social media, yeah, like they're complaining or they're being critical, we're like, okay, I've got my first hater, I must have really made it.
That's good though, because I have had people unsubscribe when I started out from my list, and but I'd already listened to her, to Denise, and I when I got them, I was like, oh yeah, cool. It didn't even, like, I thought it would just break my heart, but it was just like, oh, they don't need me, all good. That means the other people do.
yeah. But I've still bought things from people who I've unsubscribed from.
Yeah,
like I'll unsubscribe in January and then I'll buy something from them in July, you know, so it still doesn't mean they're gone forever.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's so many ways you can do it. And I think where, you know, there would be people out there listening to us going, oh my God, but Facebook says you've, or my, you know, my social media guru said, I've got to post X times a day and I've got to do this and this and this and this and this. And because we follow Denise and people like Denise, we're like, chill, you know, like I'll do it how I want to do it.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work, then, you know, you reassess maybe your social media strategy, but maybe you reassess your own energy, or maybe you reassess the quality of the content that you're putting out there, or, you know, like there's so many things that make up the big picture, not just, you know, how many times you post.
I know. I remember feeling really overwhelmed when I was looking at, like I've found graphs of the best time to post on Facebook for what industry. It like separates them all, and how many times on Facebook and Instagram and everything, and it went to Twitter and it said, you should be posting 15 times a day. And I was just like, no. What are these? How do these people live when they're just tweeting all the time?
Because Twitter's only 140 characters or something like
that. Yeah, but still, it's a drain on your brain.
Why? I shut down my Twitter. It does not do anything for me. I couldn't stand it. Because I think I'm more of a visual person. So Facebook is my jam. That I waste way too much time on Facebook. I will admit that any day of the week.
Agreed.
I like Instagram and I love Pinterest. And I know people say, you know, you shouldn't have the blue light before you're going to bed and blah, blah, blah. But my brain is trained every night when I crawl into bed, I have a cup of tea and then I turn the light off and I get under the covers and I look at Pinterest. And within 5 minutes, my eyes are so heavy and ready to go to sleep. I put the phone down and I'm asleep straight away.
That's awesome.
That's what works for me. Yeah. And that's because, you know, we're building a house and renovating a house and whatever. And I'm a pretty creative person. So that's, you know, that's where I like to hang out. I don't ever post to Pinterest. I don't know how to use it like that. I just save other people's photos.
I do some on Pinterest because that's where teachers are all the
time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. So that's one of my big avenues.
Well, maybe one day you'll give us a lesson on Pinterest.
I can do that. I can completely do that.
Cool. Okay. So that's my the things that I had written down from my SEO lessons, and I hope that I've given it, done it justice, but I think that was just the basics, obviously, you know. There are lots of, again, like you said, you can, you Google ideas for things. Well, you can Google a lot of information for SEO and you can buy short courses, you know, little cheapy courses that explain to you the basics. So I think there's lots of information on how to increase your search engine optimization, but at the same time, it's not the be all and end all.
So, yeah. Well, I've written about 10 things down that I'm going to do after we finish this. But my SEO is comes with my Wix website, and they have SEO, so it takes you through step by step. And so I do need to update it probably and add a bit more now that you've told me a bit more about it. But yeah, I had to put all the words in and all that sort of stuff, but it's quite cool because it tells me, like, I've got this notification, it's like, you're number 3 on the Google searches, and I was like, I'm happy with that.
Not so many cool,
yeah, but still I'm not getting the traffic, but I haven't put work into getting the traffic, But it still kind of ticks away. I'll get a few visits a week. I get a little message when it comes up. But so it tracks it as well, which is really exciting. And you can go in and see.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And there's also things, I haven't done it for ages, but I used to have, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a heat map that would show you where people went on your website. And like it shows you what they're hovering the mouse over or, you know, and obviously then it gives you the statistics of how long they're on each page. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah.
So if that's really important to your business, I guess you would, you know, you'd really brush up on all that sort of stuff. And I guess if it floats your boat, then you do it. But for me, I'm just not that technically minded. So if I need to, I guess I'll have to at some point. But if I don't need to, it's kind of bottom of my list.
Yeah, well, it's something I didn't even know about before I did the website. Like I was just, I knew that there was stuff out there, but I didn't know you had to actively go and do it. But
And so, changing it regularly, they like that as well. They don't like a stagnant website. Yes. So I don't know, like I was thinking, I haven't been very consistent with it, but I have an Instagram feed and you can obviously use the plugins and your Insta can go onto your website. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that will have the same impact, like because Instagram is updating it every day. I don't know that. But I thought what I would do was put a plugin to put my Insta feed, you know, across the bottom of a page or down the side or something, just so that even visually, if people, my sites are not really the kind of site they need to go back to. Once they found me, they found me and they meet me in, either on the phone or in person. So probably not going back to the website to notice that it changes, but it might help something and it will look pretty. So may as well.
If you're adding a blog, then it changes.
Well, the blog, yes, the blog changes, definitely. Yeah. Which I'll be doing at least once a month, won't I?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, sorry it's been all me.
That's all right. It's good.
Hopefully, well, if you've got your 10 points, you've learned something and it's helped me to make it sink in. So, cool.
Yes. The best way to learn something or is to explain it to somebody else. Mm. It shows how well you know it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will catch up next week.
Yes. Have a great week.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Get blogging.
Weekend. All right. Yes. Get blogging. See you in SEO. Bye.
Bye.